There we go.
You've been practicing, I can tell.
I have. All today I was like, don't blow it.
So I have learnt my lesson from last time, and I realise we have to start with follow-up from episode 2.
Yes.
But how can we, again, we've got the same problem as last time, haven't we?
Yes, but we also have the same benefit as last time, which is I have edited the audio and have been displeased.
I don't think that's ever going to change, but go on then. What were you displeased with from episode 2?
Yeah. So episode 2, we talked about copyright, and I opened by saying how I found my own copyright YouTube video. The argument was unconvincing to me at the end.
Yes.
And I think if you know, I'm imagining, because these still haven't gone live, we haven't gotten feedback, but I'm imagining that if someone is hearing that, they're then expecting that I'm going to blow them away with a rock-solid, hour-long thesis, right, that is like the perfect convincing argument for why copyright has to be limited. And I think the last show was not that at all. I listened to me and I thought, I'm still not convinced by what I have just said.
Well, maybe you're just not completely clear on your position. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You're just kind of a bit in the wilderness.
See, that makes me angry just to even hear you say that. Because... While I am very open to changing my mind, I know what my position is on this, and I'm just continually frustrated by my seeming inability to articulate a clear, consistent message on why copyright should be limited. So
what, are we going to like do the copyright video again now? Sorry, are we going to do the copyright podcast again now?
No.
You're just having a bit of a whinge that you're not happy with yourself.
My follow-up is... convincingness of previous podcast, I'm giving that a thumbs down. That is a follow-up. I am not impressed by my own argument, again, on this same topic. So I wanted to just follow that up and get
so there. Anyone listening to episode 3 before they've listened to episode 2, you're basically saying, don't listen to episode 2.
No, do listen to episode 2, right? Because I want you to listen to it, and then maybe we'll figure out some sort of feedback form. Hear what people have to say about it. I would be curious for feedback, because this is a totally different format, right? This isn't – I'm just sort of showing up and we're talking about stuff, and it's not super prepared. So I'm very curious to see how people react to this. And since this is our third episode and probably the last before it goes public, I would be very interested to hear what people have to say about the first 3 in particular. So,
Brilliant.
Okay, second piece of follow-up. From me, also about copyright.
Yeah.
Is I did the same thing again, which is I said something that I didn't mean to say, and listening to me say it in the audio is incredibly frustrating. So first time I called The Economist newspaper, The Economist magazine. Yeah. And in this one, something that really bothers me is when you talk about, we were talking about newspapers taking our videos and uploading them to other people's sites.
Yeah.
And I used the word I used to describe that was stealing.
Right.
And I try so hard not to use the word stealing, because I don't think that is a fair word to use. That is a more harsh word than what it really is. It should be infringement. They infringed on my videos. But in the heat of the moment, it's so hard not to say stealing, even though if I was writing an article, I was writing a script for a video, I would never let that slip in there. I would never say stealing.
But isn't that just because you're being a bit like wishy-washy? And like when you hear policemen interviewed on the news, they never say the robber ran away. They always say the suspected offender decamped in an easterly direction. Like, aren't you just being a bit soft? I mean, is it not actually stealing?
I think it isn't stealing, right? Because... If we're having like a hierarchy of crimes, stealing is a worse thing than infringement, because stealing implies that the newspaper not only copied my video, but they also took money right out of my wallet. And infringement means that, you know, because of their use of my video, I may have lost out on earnings from those views, right, or from licensing fees.
Okay.
But that's different from actually, like, I'm minding my own business and suddenly I'm down money because of their actions. So that's why I really do think it's because copyright is kind of getting everywhere, right? You know, it affects more parts of technology. I feel like it is important to try to establish infringing as a word to use to describe a particular kind of activity. It is not stealing. It's not the same. So that was my second point.
Okay.
Are you bullied?
That is clarified.
Are you bullied into it?
That is clarified. You know, I think you're being a bit overly cautious, but, you know, that's one of your defining qualities. So
okay.
And then I'm comfortable with that.
All right.
And you've made your case.
Yes. Thank you.
That's two bit. Any more feedback?
I don't have this next one's not exactly feedback, but I want to tell you that I took your recommendation and I watched The People versus George Lucas.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Can you give me a quick review?
The quick review, I would say it is enjoyable, but it is also terribly uncomfortable to watch because it might strike a little too close to home. You know, because it's these interviews of people who are getting really obsessed with Star Wars and who are really nerding out over a whole bunch of details. And watching that kind of thing, it just makes me feel like, do I look that ridiculous when I get upset about this? I, too, have gotten into, like, heated arguments over midichlorians. And the way the film is edited, like, it's edited in a way to make it seem really comical. And that's why it's also sort of uncomfortable to watch, is because like I'm seeing the person on the film talking about how midichlorians just changed the whole nature of the Star Wars universe, and they're really earnest, you know. But it is cut to be a funny movie, so that's why I would say it's really uncomfortable to watch, but also enjoyable.
I'm not sure that some. I mean, it's been a while since I watched it, but I'm not entirely sure I agree. I mean, there are a few people who I guess are having fun poked at them when they go really over the top and, you know, dress up as Chewbacca to go to the movies and that. Mm-hmm. But I always think those people that are really passionate about the film and talk about midichlorians and all that, I kind of think, I don't know, maybe I saw myself and didn't mind it so much, but it's an interesting point.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and I'm glad for the recommendations. But I would say that it was similar to the Trekkies documentary. Is this the same kind of thing, but for Star Trek? Right.
See, I haven't watched that one yet. Maybe that's my homework. Hey.
Yeah, you should. I would recommend it. I would recommend it. But for me, it's that same kind of like enjoyable but slightly uncomfortable because maybe it hits a little too close to home.
Okay.
But anyway, so that was a little thing I wanted to follow up on. Thank you for the recommendation. It was good
great
to watch.
Great. You have to watch that Bobby Fischer chess one I've been recommending too, but I'll set you that as homework another day.
It is on my list of documentaries to watch.
Great. Okay. Follow up. Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's it. That's not bad this time.
That's all right. That's good. I don't think I have too much follow up. I have listened to podcast number two but I don't think I have any follow-up. I'll wait till people start listening and complaining and then decide what to do. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about? What's on your mind?
So today, the thing that I kind of wanted to talk about, and this might be very scatterbrained, so we'll see how it goes. But the thing that I wanted to talk about is something that has been sort of loosely on my mind for the past 2.5, maybe 3 years. And it is the notion of work-life balance.
Work-life balance.
Yeah.
I must say, this scares me.
Why does it scare you?
Because I'm not a good person to talk to about work-life balance. Because, I mean, I'm notoriously, by those around me, think I'm very bad at this. I think talking to me about work-life balance is like talking to the cookie monster about healthy eating. I'm not good in this area.
You feel that your work-life balance is unbalanced?
It is severely unbalanced in favor of work.
Really?
Yes.
How many videos have you put up on YouTube?
I think it's getting towards about 2,000. It is a lot. It is a lot of videos.
And how many, I have to preface this with the word active, how many active channels would you say you have?
The active, really active ones, it's about half a dozen. But I do have about a dozen that I do pop videos on. I'm bringing a couple back to life at the moment. But anyway, yeah, I have a lot of things on the go. But you know, that's not why I have a bad work-life balance. I think if I had just one YouTube channel, I would probably have a bad work-life balance.
You think it would make no difference? You would just there would be 2,000 videos on that single channel, as opposed to spread across a half dozen.
Quite possibly. I think I'm a. I think I work a lot because I enjoy it a lot. But anyway, do you have a good work-life balance?
So my answer to this is also no. But I'm coming at this from the perspective of I think that the whole notion of work-life balance is kind of feel-good BS. I don't think that this is an achievable thing in the way most people mean it when they're talking about work-life balance.
You're going to have to elaborate a bit here.
Okay. So I think very often when people are talking about work-life balance, they're kind of talking about, you know, having it all, right? You have this great personal life that is fulfilling with family and friends and activities and hobbies. And you are also a person who is excelling in your job, right? You're doing great at work. And I think that people like to talk about work-life balance and trying to achieve work-life balance because that it is an amazing ideal. It's like the platonic ideal of what you want your life to be. But I think that that scuttles to the side difficult decisions that have to be made about how you're going to spend your time and your energy. So that is the kind of basis of the argument that I kind of want to make today.
So I'm trying to be clear here. Are you talking about the amount of time you dedicate to work versus your life, or how successful you can be at one? You know, you can either be a rubbish friend and family member and a brilliant YouTuber, or a bit of a mediocre YouTuber and the Uber family friend man.
I'm going to lay out my analogy partly because this came up with another YouTuber who we know recently. And a lot of times people start out sort of not believing me on this. And then by the end, I can sometimes can convince them. So I want to lay this out. And the analogy that I make is this, right? Let's, you know, you as a human are able to produce a certain amount of energy and activity. And, you know, sort of like a motor. And just for simplicity and math's sake, let's say that your output is 100 watts of sort of effort at any particular time.
Yeah.
And I think that basically the whole scope of human activity falls into the four possible categories that are before you, like four 100-watt light bulbs.
Okay.
And those four light bulbs are labeled family, friends, health, and work.
Okay.
And so from my perspective, I really, truly believe that this analogy is basically true, that you have 100 watts of power that you need to make decisions about how you're going to distribute them across all four of these light bulbs.
Yeah.
And so you can have all four of them on at 25 watts each, which is not really great for any of them in particular, or you can start making decisions about where do you want to either focus your energy? And then, of course, that also means making harsh, uncomfortable decisions about where you're going to cut from these various light bulbs. So that is my kind of my kind of statement. And I often get people arguing against me that's not true at all.
To go with that analogy, the criticism, I think, that would be made of me is as follows. There are people in my life who believe that I should devote my motor to my work light bulb for 10 hours a day and have it shine bright and do everything I can, and then switch that off completely and switch on those other light bulbs and start worrying about them. But if you have a poor work-life balance, you're never willing to switch off that work light bulb. And that's my problem. I can never switch that light bulb off, whether I'm just thinking about it, I'm thinking about what I want to do tomorrow or how I want to change a video, or I'm sneakily checking YouTube comments and things like that. So I'm happy to go with your light bulb and motor, but I think my definition of work-life balance is not how much glow to give each bulb. It's should you switch certain bulbs off at certain times?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So right. Is that what you're saying? Are you saying, do I switch these ones off or on? Or are you, it sounds like you're more saying, I'm going to have my work bulb shining 75% and my family one at 10%, and they're just permanently at these levels as yeah. opposed to switching them on and off.
But this goes to one of your videos that we were talking about, the sort of the sum of an infinite series. And if right. you have an infinite series of ones and zeros, write that out. You take the average of that as 0.5.
Grandi series.
Yes. Is that what it's called?
That is, yes.
Okay.
And Thompson's lamp is also the analogy.
Okay, Thompson's lamp. Look it up on the internet, people.
On number file, preferably.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'll re-record that now.
No. Go on. Tell me.
Look it up on number file, people. Don't just use the internet. Go to youtube.com/numberphile.
Exactly. Hours of fun.
So the way I'm going to get around your argument about the switching of the motors thing is I'm just going to project a typical week as an infinite series of weeks and reduce your switching to an average. If you see what I'm saying, right? So, okay, you know, you're spending 100% of your 8-hour day on work and 100% of the 8 hours after work on family. That averages out to be 50-50. So I'm doing away with your 100% of a thing at a particular time. It is very difficult sometimes to let go of work in moments when you should.
Yeah.
Right? That is not an easy task to do. And I have definitely come across that as well. Like it's impossible to watch TV with my wife and not to some extent be thinking about potential things that I could do in videos, right? Or if we're watching something even moderately interesting, like, ooh, maybe this could be a video. And then you're not fully there, right? It's hard to be present absolutely 100% of the time. So my argument is that even if you could make a switch between 50% work in the day, 50% family at night, you are choosing a 50-50 distribution, and now you have allocated 0% to friends and 0% to health.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So like you have to do this negotiation between these four areas. And I think it is uncomfortable to try to think about your time and attention in these ways, because nobody wants to give up on any of those categories. But I think it is best to make really clear decisions about what are you going to try to do. How much are your friendships worth to you? How much is your family worth to you? How much is work worth to you?
Yeah.
And make decisions about that. And I guess one of the reasons why it has just been on my mind in particular this month is because I've been really aware that for basically the past 2 years, my health light bulb has been at literally zero. Nothing at all done in the realm of health. Yeah. And that was a very conscious decision when I was starting my YouTube career. Like I was actually thinking about it in terms of these four categories, and I had discussions with my wife about it. And it was we're just going to kind of ignore the health one while we're in this sort of rocky transition to self-employment.
So you kind of said to yourself, I'm going to not eat well not exercise. And you made a conscious decision to do that. It wasn't that things got away from you. You just sort of said, I'm doing it. You know, I'm going to be unhealthy.
That is exactly right.
That's extraordinary.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I am unhealthy. I am that person too. But I always tell myself I'm not going.
Okay. Right. So this is exactly it. Right. Like I'm very interested in sort of the science around decision making and cognition. And there's a lot of evidence that points to those kinds of thoughts in the back of your mind, the sort of like feeling guilty that you are not acting in a healthy way, that really erodes decision making in other areas over a long period of time. And so I can honestly say that it was kind of a liberating experience to be able to say, look, I'm just going to, this light bulb is going off, right? At some point in the future, we're going to reevaluate that situation. And for me, that is now this time.
You realize this isn't a good thing though. Like deciding to do something that's bad for you doesn't make it good for you.
No. No. You're making me sound like a crazy person. You are the one making me sound that way. Not me, not my own words coming out of my mouth. What I mean is that I was choosing not to feel guilty about a lack of exercise or particular food choices. Okay. I wasn't making a positive decision that said, you know, chocolate cake every day, all day. Right? That's a different kind of thing. But if I was just grabbing like some junk food for a snack, I wasn't going to feel guilty about that. But
that doesn't stop those calories going in your body or heart disease developing or weight going on.
No, just because, not at all. Yeah. Okay. Right? I totally agree. Right? And that is like a consequence that has to be paid for a particular decision.
Yeah.
And also, over roughly the past 2 years, so we're talking like my YouTube career, I would say that my friend light bulb has been turned down to maybe like 5% of energy, which is shamefully low. And I feel guilty about not having spent enough time with people that I would want to spend time with. And also my wife light bulb has been lower than it should have been, right? Sort of the family light bulb.
Yeah.
But that was all because I was putting a lot of energy into the work. And I honestly don't think if I hadn't made conscious decisions to turn down putting energy into these other areas and not feeling guilty about it, I'm not sure that I would have been successful on YouTube in the necessary time frame. And I don't think that my decisions are necessarily good advice for generally for people to take, right? I'm not sitting here and advocating everybody should put all of their energy into work. But I was in a particular situation where I needed YouTube to become self-sustaining within a particular period of time. And I don't think if I had divided my mental and physical energy across a whole bunch of fields, that would have happened in the right time frame.
Okay.
That is kind of my thought, but I'm not – my point is that I think under certain circumstances, it is helpful to think about things in a very conscious, very deliberate way and to eliminate guilt in other areas of your life if you need to focus on one area very intensely.
Well, I'm not buying it.
You're not buying it? Tell me why.
No, I'm not buying it. Well, I understand the logic of what you're saying, and it sounds familiar to some things that I say in my life. You know, I often make the argument that my obsession with work is the reason I've enjoyed a modicum of success with my work. And that's kind of what you're saying. You're saying, you know, because I've devoted so much energy to work, I've become more successful at it. But I think deciding not to be guilty about neglecting important things doesn't change the fact you are neglecting them. And when you neglect things, you harm them.
Yes.
So if you have a car and you decide not to service it or put oil in it or anything for a while, but you make a conscious decision not to feel bad about that, that doesn't mean that eventually the engine is not going to seize up and the car will break. And I think if you neglect your health or you neglect your relationships, just because you're not feeling guilty about it doesn't mean you're not damaging them. And I think that is what people like us should bear in mind. And I find this very funny because I often have conversations like this with fellow YouTubers when I see how obsessive they are, and I say, you know what, you should think about the other aspects of your life. And the funny thing is I then don't practice what I preach, and I'm probably the worst offender.
Yeah, but so preaching is much easier than practicing.
Yeah, so don't think I'm being high and mighty about this.
No, not at all.
But I think what I just said, I think just because you're conscious of that neglect and you've made a decision to neglect it doesn't mean that neglect couldn't be harmful. Do you disagree?
No, I completely agree. And it's one of the areas where I think that analogy with light bulbs doesn't pan out perfectly. Because I can't remember where I first heard this analogy, but talking about interpersonal relationships as kind of like bank accounts in the sense that, you know, if you spend time with someone, you're kind of investing into this friendship bank account. And there may be times when you're not available or you're not being a good friend, and you can kind of draw to some extent on those previous investments. Mm. But at some point, the bank account runs out, right? Yeah. And then it is irredeemable at that point, right? You've reached like friendship bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And so I am totally with you on this.
Right.
I agree. And I think that part of making hard decisions in life is coming to grips with areas in your life which you're sort of willing to possibly have damage happen. And that's why when I was focusing mainly on YouTube, you know, I'm going to probably through the course of this conversation have a bunch of numbers that don't add up to 100%. But but let's just say that basically like 80% of my effort was on work and sort of 20% was on family.
Yeah.
Because, all right, I am very happy with my marriage and not willing to risk long-term damage to the marriage,
yeah.
Right? And so that light bulb can't be zero because that, like, that is consequences that I am not willing to accept, right? But in a period where I have a lot of things that need to get done and a limited amount of time and energy to do them, if I'm not willing to make any sacrifices on the family side of things and I need to have an enormous amount of energy into the work side of things, something has to get cut. And that's where I sort of find this analogy is useful. And
so basically the thing you're saying is BS, the thing that you think is the impossible dream, mm-hmm. is to be hugely successful at work and maintain those other aspects of life hugely successfully as well.
Yeah,
to be the best friend in the world, to be the best husband in the world, to be a ripped athlete with incredible six-pack and be making the best YouTube videos in the whole world. It's physically impossible to do everything.
I honestly think that that is the case. Now, there are some people who have great success in very many fields. And I'm always very interested to read about people who have become successful and what they get up to. But I think that that is definitely the case. You can't be the best friend in the world to all of your friends and the best husband and the best at work and incredibly healthy all at the same time.
Yeah, but of course you can't. That's why it's called balance, a work-life balance,
right?
Because you decide how much weight to apportion to the different things.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying is that apportioning equal balance to all things ends up in kind of mediocre results in all of them.
Yeah.
And I think that that is totally fine. Right. I do not begrudge anyone who says, right, 25 across the board. I think that is a totally reasonable decision.
But you think it leads to mediocrity?
I think, yeah, it is very hard to be exceptional if you are dedicating equal energy across the board. But I also think that that is perfectly reasonable to do.
Yeah.
I think people should just be aware of the decisions that they're making, right? And so if whatever the field of work that you're in, if you want to try to be incredibly successful at that field, you're going to have to make, in the beginning, difficult decisions about what other parts of your life are you going to cut.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's frustrated, but when people talk about, you know, wanting to do something but not recognizing or not being willing to give up other areas of their life, that's sort of frustrating for me to observe. And I think that thinking about those areas very consciously is helpful, right?
Yeah.
If you're not willing to make these sacrifices, then I think you should also not feel guilty about not doing whatever it is you want to do, right? Becoming an Olympic skier. Don't feel guilty that you're not working on your Olympic skiing if you've made like a 25% across the board decision for how to allocate your energy.
No pain, no gain.
Yeah, I guess so. But I like this decision matrix of like No pain, no gain is vague, right? Like no.
Whereas decision matrix is really specific and easy to understand.
Yeah, right. Or like here's a board. Here's some dials. If you want to turn up any of the one dials, all the other dials turn down. Right now, decide where you're going to go with that. And again, it has been on my mind this month in particular because I do feel like I have finally gotten to the stage where I can turn down my business dial a little because I need to turn the health dial back up, right? And I have been very aware of that this month where, excuse me, I've sort of changed my diet to try to be healthier and I've taken out more time to exercise.
Oh, have you joined a gym?
I have joined a gym is the short answer.
Is this the first time you've ever joined a gym?
No, it is not the first time I've ever joined a gym because I used to join a gym and then feel badly about not going.
Yeah.
And very, very prior to my YouTube career, I used to have a more across the board setting of my priorities. Yeah. And I used to like cycle around London all the time. And I used to have, you know, engaging hobbies and like all of that just went away, you know, as YouTube took up more and more time. So
when you were like that, when you were more across the board, were you happy?
Okay, that's a difficult question to answer because the straight up answer is yes, but I can also say that I was always trying to do additional work on the side, right? Which might be something that we talk about more in detail in the future. But I had like a number of little side businesses that I was trying all through my professional life, and you know, I was dedicating to them perhaps an insufficient amount of time to make them successful. Yeah. And they weren't. And that's because I was busy going around London, right, on my photography hobby, right, taking pictures of all kinds of stuff. And if you look me up on Flickr, like you can see a record of all of these pictures that I took. And then you can see that it just abruptly stops. Right? And that's partly because like I just have not had time or energy for a photography hobby.
So, now that you've tweaked the dials, yeah, and you've, you know, for this past couple of years you've been YouTube machine, are you happier?
Yeah, I would say that I am. I would say without a doubt, I would rather be where I am now and having to kind of claw back some of the damage that was caused from ignoring my health for a while than be where I was before with a more even balance across the board.
You are a man of science, though, and a man of logic. Surely you don't think it is a good way to live to neglect your body for 2 years and then fix your body up and neglect something for... Surely you must see that that's not the ideal way to operate.
I think... See, the problem there is with your word ideal.
Right.
And I totally agree. I would rather have the level of fitness that I had 5 years ago than the level of fitness that I have now. But I am realistic, and I think that I would not be where I am today if I had not made decisions about sacrificing time, particularly in the health, you know, and also in the friends category, right?
Yeah.
But ideally, I would not want to do that. Like I sit here today and I can say that I am like genuinely sad that some friends that I used to be in touch with more that I'm not in touch with now. And that's a very hard thing to ever fix. But
I guess the ideal test for the thesis you're putting to us today is to look at the most successful people in the world and say, are they fat, divorced, and have no friends?
That is an excellent question.
Because I'm the same as you, and because I have, you know, neglected my health and relationships because of my obsession with work, I kind of justify it the same way you do. And I say, well, any success I've had is because of it. And I don't know. If you spent 2 hours a day less thinking about work or switched off your computer a bit earlier and went out with your mates and went for a run, would you not be as successful? Really?
This gets into some complicated things about the nature of work and the kind of work that I think we do and that many people who are self-employed do, it necessitates that particular light bulb is turned up higher than it would normally be.
Yeah.
And so
I agree with that. I agree with that.
For example, I have spoken with a number of friends who are not self-employed. And the general consensus of what everybody loves about their job is that when the workday is over, they don't care anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They don't have to think about it anymore because they'll go in tomorrow and the work will be there and they are paid to work a particular period of time and then day's over and it doesn't matter anymore. And that's a huge psychological relief that you give up if there is theoretically always something more that you can be doing.
And the other thing those people forget is, like, I have a lot of friends that work in television and tell me how stressful their day is. But if the camera breaks, that's someone else's job to fix. And if the lights go out and if their computer stops working, that's the IT department. And someone else does this. But when you work on your own, everything is your problem.
Yeah.
And those problems never go away.
Yeah. This is, again, first world YouTuber problems, right?
Yeah, of course.
That we are one people businesses. But my point is that, you know, I don't know exactly where this number is, but I think if you are a one-person business of any kind, in order to keep that running, I don't think, you know, just to pick a number, that the work light bulb can ever be below 50 watts, right? It can't be below sort of half your energy, no matter what you do, because everything is your responsibility in a one-person business.
The one thing I want to come back to, though, with this analogy, and I know I brought it up at the start, and then you pulled a Grundy series on me and kind of baffled me a bit. But the thing I think is the debate to be had for people like us is, do we switch the bulb off? Do we switch the work bulb off at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. and switch the wife, you know, your wife bulb on or your friend bulb on? And can you ever turn that work bulb off? Because that's the thing that's put to me all the time by my the critics in my life. It's not that I work too much. In fact, it said to me, work more hours if you want. Wake up earlier, work later. Mm-hmm. I don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
But have a stop time. And partly that's for maintenance of your relationships and your friendships and your health.
Mm-hmm.
But the argument that's put to me, again, I'm making other people's arguments here, is that doing that is good for your work as well. It gives you kind of a refresh and it's healthy to stop thinking about work for a while. And when you're talking about these light bulbs, you know, I'm sort of imagining even when you're at the movies with Mrs. CGP Grey or out with your mates at the pub, that your work bulb is still dimly on at, you know, 10 watts. And the thing I think that may be healthy is switch that bulb off altogether if you can.
Yeah, well, I think the thing that I'm about to say you will sympathize with, which is that I do not really have the ability to do that at this stage.
Yeah.
Right. Like I am not quite able to do that. I'm going to make a guess about your personality here, but I'm going to guess that you are not a person who plays video games.
I am not, no.
Okay.
I used to be many years ago, but I just can't get into them anymore. That's true.
Yeah. So I am still a person who plays video games.
Okay.
And I am very much aware that one of the reasons why I do still like to play video games is that it's one of the very few activities where I can say that I'm genuinely not thinking about work.
Mm.
I will play and it is totally absorbing and I feel like I don't have any kind of work thoughts going on in the background. And that is enjoyable. And it's one of the reasons why I know I've mentioned this on Reddit and a few places, but almost always the day or two after I release a video, which is always a huge push at the very end to get that done, I basically take 2 days and it's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to sit here on this computer and just play a game, you know, for the next day or two. Like this is my weekend now and I have to like reset my brain.
Okay.
But I find that no other activity would do that, even if I preferred that it would. You know, if I took like a mini holiday with the missus, I would still be kind of thinking about, you know, what are all the comments that are coming in? Where did it get linked to? How is it being received? Oh, God, what's the next thing going to be? The next thing, right? Which is always a huge concern.
Yeah.
Of course, now the very irony of this whole situation is that the games that I play are almost all a variation of some kind of work simulator. Right? So I do not play like first-person shooter games. Yeah. Right, I play a game that's in the sim category, right?
You're like CGP grade the game where you have to make a YouTube video before the time runs out.
Yeah, or it's like, you know, SimCity, you're the mayor, right? Or Civilization, you're in charge of this whole civilization. Now micromanage 100 cities, right? Or the one I've been playing recently, which is very good and I recommend, is Prison Architect. And it's like, you're in charge of a prison, right?
Well, that sounds good.
It is. I have to say, it's very good. It's one I found recently. It's very engaging. But so my only escape from thinking about work to some extent at any time is basically by playing a virtual work game, which I'm sort of aware is a strange thing to do, but it really does. It absorbs that part of my brain completely. And like, here's some pretend work, go play with that. And that's the only kind of way that I can get a break from thinking about my actual work to some extent all the time.
Let me ask you this then. I have to, if it's too personal, just tell me, but it begs the question then. Those around you, you know, family, friends, loved ones and all that, what do they think about your work-life balance?
So I would say, speaking on behalf of my wife, she is a great woman. And I think there is no way that I could have gotten through this sort of period of trying to become self-employed and working on YouTube if it wasn't for her incredible understanding. Hmm. And I am very lucky that I married a woman who is very perfectly happy with time to herself, and also is really aware of needing to kind of leave me be at certain very intense work periods. I sort of referenced it earlier, but whenever a video comes out, the sort of 3 or 4 days prior to that are the busiest I ever am because I'm just doing all the animation. Mm. And those are usually, this is not an exaggeration, those are usually 4 days of I wake up and I'm animating or editing the audio until I fall asleep. And I sort of do that 4 days in a row. And my wife knows she's just not going to see me during those times. And if she does see me, I'm not a very chatty person.
Yeah.
And she's okay with that. And I think if I had married somebody else, I think that could be really bad for a relationship over the long run. So I think it depends a lot on who you surround yourself with. And some people are going to be okay with kind of disappearing for long periods of time. And sometimes it's not okay. And I think probably, I don't want to get into too in specifics, but like one of the more difficult times was that I usually spend the summers with my parents in North Carolina. So I go to the States and I visit them. And this last summer, the whole Subbable project, my sort of fundraising project, happened to coincide with the time that I was spending with my family, you know, for a dedicated several weeks.
Ooh, there's a big overlap in the Venn diagram here.
Yeah. And normally, you know, like my parents don't live here. And so I'm very glad and I feel very fortunate that I can go see them for several weeks at a time. But that Subbable period just happened to be an incredibly intense period of work that just soaked up all of my time. And so I was in America, you know, maybe it was for 6 weeks and, you know, 4.5, 5 of those weeks, I was not really available to the people around me. And again, my parents are great. They sort of, they understand. But that is a totally difficult time because in my mind, it's like, okay, well here I'm supposed to be turning up the family light bulb to like very high, right? I'm physically here. It's a dedicated stretch of time.
Yeah.
But such is the nature of work that sometimes it will invade those times. And there's just nothing that you can do about that. And yeah, it can definitely be very hard.
Do you ever wish you were back, you know, 9 to 5 or something like that? Or
no, I don't. Even with all the trade-offs that I've had to make, I'm very happy to be where I am now. But I think it's just it has been difficult and it has shaken my faith in the existence of a real work-life balance. Even though I'm sort of trying to even out those knobs to the best of my ability at this stage, at least with regards to the health knob of turning that one back up a little bit.
What do you do at the gym then? Lift weights, run. I can't imagine you in the gym. Just humor me for just a second.
What do you think I do in the gym?
I definitely think you listen to podcasts.
I don't listen to podcasts.
Really?
Yeah.
You must have some kind of electronic device involved somehow in your workout.
Oh, of course, right? I'm there with my iPhone. I'm keeping track of everything on my iPhone, and I'm listening to terrible, usually electronica kind of music.
No.
Yep.
That surprises me.
All right. So no podcasts. Any other guesses?
I kind of imagined you as a kind of... I can imagine you getting into the weights.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine you like lifting some pretty heavy weights.
Lifting weights, yes. Pretty heavy, no. Not at this stage. But yeah, that's what I'm doing. I sort of, as you can imagine, I spent a lot of time trying to research making changes in to a more healthy lifestyle before I decided to do anything.
Of course.
It's like, well, I don't know anything about this, right? Let me actually research stuff. And I came basically to the conclusion that if you want to try to turn around things in a relatively short period of time, the best way to do it is with strength training, which surprised me, right? Because I would have been the idiot, being like stupid, sexy Flanders, right? Running on the treadmill, right? And it turns out like, no, that doesn't really help you in a shorter term, right? That might be good in long term, but not in the short term.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is like, there's all of these crazy diets all over the whole world of all of these variations of things that you can do. And so I'm like, well, what does science have to say about this? And the thing that is common to like every crazy diet in the whole world is basically, hey, you know all those carbohydrates you eat? Don't eat them, right? Yeah. They're like the worst possible thing that you can eat. And so basically those are the two changes that I've made. Like I'm trying to do weights at the gym very, very slowly.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to cut carbohydrates out of my diet, which is way harder than it sounds.
That is very hard because they're also so yummy, but they're also everywhere.
But yeah, that is the thing is I never quite realized how much I eat that is basically pasta or bread. But this is where, like, just to briefly touch on that analogy again, I am super aware this month that while I've been making this transition, my energy and my ability to do concentrated bursts of work is much lower. And that's partly why I'm very happy to be doing this podcast with you, because it's a different, it's not as incredibly intense as making the videos is. And I've also totally cheated by picking an easier topic for myself to do, hopefully by the end of this month. But I'm really consciously aware that since I have upped the health percentage, one of the consequences of that might be I might not get a video out by the end of January, which if I had not made this decision, I'm pretty confident I would have a video out by the end of January. But there are trade-offs in life. And this is one of those trade-offs that I have to up the health percentage. And the only place to take energy from is work. So that's sort of where I am right now.
All right, mate. I'll see you in the gym, yeah?
Yeah, I'll see you in the gym.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.